Yutus Kislev. I think this is our third installment. I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken. But before we begin the class, let's begin with the dedications. This class in general is, and this whole series of classes, is dedicated to Shlomo Ben Moshe, our friend Bundy. And if there anyone at the table who would like to give a dedication or a Refuah Shlema, let's.
So Refuah Shlema for Shneir Zalman Ben Chana Rachel.
Shneir Zalman Ben Chana Rachel, good heaven, Refuah Shlema.
Sharna Alexandra Bas Chana Esther.
Sharna Alexandra Bas Chana Esther. Refuah Shlema. Harvey, son of Marjorie, should have a Refuah Shlema. Okay, so let's begin. So, to review a little bit, this maimer is based on the Kapitel Tillim, which the Alter Rebbe was in the middle of saying, the Pasuk, which is going to lead our maimer, when he was actually released. And the Pasuk is, Pada b'shalom nafshi, my soul was redeemed in peace, b'kravli, when I was in the middle of a battle, because I was amongst the multitude. And this is Kapitel Nun He. It's said on the 10th day of the month, and therefore has the relationship also, as we said, to the Mitlurev, whose day of redemption was on the 10th of the month. We said three things, and then we'll segue into the fourth. But Padam B'Sholem Nafshi, the words say Padam B'Sholem. Redeemed, I was redeemed in peace. Redeemed is Ga'ul. So the Alter Rebbe is going from Metzar, from imprisonment, to Ga'ul. And we in the whole world are on the same trajectory. From the imprisonment and the preoccupations with our self-full preoccupations, our self-full self, our preoccupation with physicality, and preoccupation even with more sublime things like intellectuality and art. But all of those things are prisoners in the sense, imprisonments to the inherent godliness. God is trapped. And it's our job to redeem God. And that's what it says, Pada b'shalom nafshi. My soul has been redeemed. I am redeeming God. That's the first pshat that we learned in this pasuk. I am redeeming. We Jewish people are redeeming God from his imprisonment. And on the other hand, God is redeeming us. It's a two-way street. And we will learn both ways of looking at this. Two perushim. We are redeemed, i.e. God is redeeming us, and we are redeeming God. And that led us into a very long piece last week. What do we mean by redeeming God? God has a kavanah, an intention for all of the reality that he created. And his intention is that he should have a dwelling place in the lower world. And as long as he doesn't have a dwelling place in the lower world, he himself is, as it were, if you could say such a thing, imprisoned, captive. And that's the secret of what's called Shekhinah Begalus, the divine presence in a state of galus. And so, yes, God redeemed us. God redeemed the Alter Rebbe. The Torah has redeemed all of us who are learning it in one way or another. Every one of us at this table and every one of us who is listening in has had some degree of experience of something beyond what was going on before and something broader, wider, and deeper, which at whatever level you're holding, we'll call redemption in relationship to the narrow straits of confinement, which we'll call captivity. So God envisioned in his head. Imagine this, and this is what we spoke about at length last time. When it rose up in God's will, Libroi, to create, he envisioned every detail of creation, every detail and everything that was ever going to exist, including the souls of tzaddikim. And so, and from that perspective, everything that ever is going to exist in all the stratified layers of reality, always meaning never not and beyond time entirely, always existed in his mind. And when they existed in his mind, even the souls of tzaddikim, the expression is that he consulted with the souls of tzaddikim. He looked at the blueprint, part of which was the neshamas of tzaddikim, and he had a dialogue, as you can say, just a thing in his head as to how to create, and from that rolled out the creation. I just happened this week to be to read a little thing about Nikola Tesla. You know who Nikola Tesla was? Yeah, from which the Tesla company gets his name. He was a genius, and he was actually sent by a good friend of Thomas Edison to work with Thomas Edison. And the friend who sent him remarked that, "I believe that this young man, Nikola Tesla, is equal to you, and the two of you are the top of all brains in the planet at the time." And Nikola Tesla had invented the alternate current way of electricity. And he said a thing, well, I won't go into the diet, but just what's relevant here is his quote was that when he created the alternate current generator, the AC generator, it looked exactly in every detail the way he thought of it in his head. There was no change whatsoever. Every detail was imagined in his head. So the Havdil, if you can say, between a human and God, and particularly this human, God envisioned everything in his head, and everything that is visioned in his head is designed to come into a level of reality which we call mamish. And we explained in one of the memoirs, malachi mamish, that the spiritual is meant to come into the physical. And even deeper than that, the essential is meant to come in the physical. And in fact, the deeper that we have a generality, which we spoke about, the deeper it comes from, the lower it manifests itself. So, when God is redeemed, that's the second pirush, that God says, "You redeemed me and my children." So the essence of God is invested in reality, in physical reality. And that, in a nutshell, is the story of our mimer, the story of Yutes Kislev, bringing the Torah, the deepest, deepest parts of the Torah, Chutza, look at Shema Nesefa Chutza, to the outside of the outside of the outside, bringing it down and down and down until essence of God is enclosed down here in the physical and released and becomes visible, tangible in the physical. That's the intro. Okay? Any questions? So where we're holding is on the top of an Ois Dalet. So these things, I'll start and then we'll see who else wants to read. These things that we just spoke about. Ella, however, Afal Tetein, nevertheless, this is Ois Dalet. Ha'inyonim Shenasim Lamaila, those things which are made up above. And these things which are made up above, God invests himself in it, as we said initially. And then he brings these things down into the world and gives us the gift of Torah, Avoda, Ugamilas HaSodim, the three-part tripod on which the world stands. And then we are able to do down here below something which rises up above and have an influence on above. So the above becomes even more engaged than he was when it was just a thought in his head. So these in Yonim Shenasim Lamayla, the things that are made upstairs, Al Yedei Avoda Yisrael, through the service of the Jewish people, Lifnei HaAvoda, before they were doing any Avoda, this is what the meaning of he consulted with the Neshomas of Tzaddikim. I mean, think about this. You have an idea in your head, and the more you can construct the detail and think about the effect of that thing that you want to do, the more engaged you get with it in your head. So he became more and more engaged in his own head by thinking about us. Because that's what, yeah, he became more and more engaged in his head by thinking about us because we are the tachlis of creation. The whole point of creation is Odom Lamata, the human being down below, that does the avoida, which we call avoidus abuvah, the rectification. And as he envisioned that in more and more detail in his head, he got more and more excited, if you could say such a thing. So this is what he's saying. He envisioned the avoda down here below, lifnei ha-avoda, before the avoda was actually done. He envisioned. But that in which he envisioned in his head and which reached him and excited him is still nothing comparable when you actually get it done. You actually implement it down here below and you say, whoa, look, I mean, all that I've gone through, all the struggles that I've had internally, and let's say the Simpson, big struggle for Hashem. He takes himself and puts himself in a straitjacket, the Simpson, right? He binds himself. He limits himself. And all of that for the sake of us down here below, that there should be actual human beings, and Jewish human beings in particular, to work on the fallen sparks of Tohu, which fell from really, really high down here below, and to release the incredible energy that's in it. Sure. Speak a little louder so we can hear. Man. Right. That's good. That's one way of looking at it. That is one way of looking at it in our image. The hour is the, from that perspective, and it's a true perspective, are the neshamas of the tzaddikim. Right?
Rabbi Kingdom, would you please repeat what everything said or asked?
Please, 1 second. Let him finish.
Anthropomorphical perspective, but among its dialects, the interaction between Hashem alienating himself and putting himself in the Tzari and breaking those constraints, those limits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that process is what is part of that partnership. That's what I was saying.
Absolutely. Okay. Elisa, what are you saying?
I was asking, would you please repeat whatever he's saying or asking, because I hear you clearly, which I'm grateful for, but I can't hear whatever's being asked or said.
He said, and I agreed.
Thank you.
That one of the perushim, one of the explanations in Nasa Odom B'Tzalmenu, plural, could be the souls of the tzaddikim, could be the others, the plurality with which he's consulting. And that's what we have been speaking about in our mind. I mean, there are many perushim in there also. Let us create. Hashem realized, and again, kaviyachol, if you could say such a thing, that in order for there to be a creation, there has to be a plurality, right? A partnership, that's one way of looking at it, which is the first way. Another is that the creation will imply that there is something that perceives itself as something other than he. So the other than he is also creates an us. All right, so that's what Jonathan said.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, this otherness that exists initially in his head, right? And then finally down here below. So when it exists, as I said, when you start conceptualizing the details in your head, the more details and the more sublime your design, the more excited you get. But that's nothing compared to the excitement, even though sometimes it's a big letdown, the excitement when it's actually material and you see it. And people, it's a building and people are using it, and this is what you had in mind in the first place, and you can sit back and say, wow. You know, is it? So it says, so there's two levels here of the Avodah of Yisroel. The Avodah of the service of the Jewish people that he envisions in his head, and the service of the Jewish people actually down here, l'acharei ha'avodah, after they do the Avodah. Well, derech ha'yidua, as is known, and this is the way that is known, the inyan, magid davor rov le'yankov. Here's another expression. He speaks his words to Yaakov. Hukov, Mishpotov, his statutes and his judgments, the Yisroel. Shapirish, this word, the Hukov, Mishpotov, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfilling the mitzvahs himself. If you could say such a thing, Kaviyoko, that he, now that I'm envisioning something else, I can in my head differentiate between certain parts of me and certain parts of that other that's in my head, right? If I'm building something, I can envision the machine working, and in a certain sense, I've stepped back from it in my head, and the machine is working in my head. So he can tell his words and his hukim and his potav and his judgments to Yisroel.
But he's also a part of the machine.
Yeah, he's part of it, but at the same time, he's able to compartmentalize himself within himself, just the way we do. And so he's imagining himself, so to speak, a part of himself, fulfilling the mitzvahs.
I wonder if this is also in conjunction with, you know, when it says, there's a pasuk that says when you have a thought, let's say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzvah HaMaisa, Like Hashem will connect it to an action.
Right.
So I want to say it's like this cyclical thing that Hashem mirrors whatever it is that we think, Hashem thinks. Whatever it is that we do, Hashem does. And then also vice versa. If we think something, Hashem will make it happen. If we do something, Hashem will think it. And so.
That's all true. That's all true.
Good one. Yeah. And there's a spectrum between the act of actual realization and the actual how Hashem gives it there. That's not how he realizes himself in all reality.
Right.
You know, and when you mention it's thought, and you can really distinguish when you're speaking about Hashem between thought and actual actions.
Not, when you're talking about Hashem, you can't think.
Right.
You can't make those distinctions. That's why it's called deed. He does. He does the mitzvahs. Deed. But it's right. But it's part of him. So Shiesh B'zeh B'ez Inyon, and there's two things going on here. Inyon Aleph, first is Kedorash Hazal, as our sages have interpreted on the Pasuk, Masha Hu Oiste Hu Oimeli Yisrael Aset, which is kind of what we said, right?
Yeah.
That which he does, he tells the Jewish people to do. That's what he, because he's doing it, albeit in his level. It's doing. Hainu, meaning, at the outset, he fulfills the mitzvahs, but then nice and quickly Israel, and his fulfilling the mitzvahs gives power to the Jewish people, that they should fulfill the mitzvahs down here, either in his head and down below.
It's not fulfilling the actual physical aspect of the mitzvah. It's the
well, those two words are interesting. He is fulfilling them actually, but not physically.
Right, but what we perceive as the physicality of the mitzvah is really, what's really going on is the spirituality of the mitzvah, but we need to do something physical. So what's really happening is Hashem is constantly, he sustains maybe also the ability to do those mitzvahs in a spiritual sense.
Yeah.
Well, connection to Hashem every time we do the mitzvah, we have a physical connection to
Right, exactly. And this is called Isurusa de la'ela, arousal from above, Shikoydim Isurusa de la'ela, which precedes, because there's an arousal from above which comes after our deeds down there below. But this is the arousal from above which precedes the arousal from below. That's one side. Be'inyin abeis, another way of looking at that is that al yidei eshus, so this is the other side. Shal yidei eshus ro'el mekaimis amitzvahs, through this that we fulfill now, this was done here in the physical. That draws down the energies from above. So he inspires us and we inspire him. That's an arousal from above, which comes from an arousal from below. It's absolutely a kirov, and it's a kirov in two directions.
Yeah,
him coming to us and us coming to him. Beautiful, right. I am to my beloved is us coming to him, and then the other, is the other. The inyan zeh, interesting, just when you bring that up, the Torah is such a wonder. It's a sin, you know, no matter where you're learning in the Torah, all these inyanim are there. Yeah. The inyan zeh, and this idea, that mitzvahs of God, that God does, are done through the mitzvahs that we do. That actually, the arousal from below affecting the arousal from above, is actually a higher level of God fulfilling the mitzvahs than it was, I mentioned, humitzad asma, when he did on his own. This is like,
why he alienated himself.
He created us. We are the realization of his dream. We're the realization of his dream. And another way of looking at this is, you ever sing a duet with anybody, Esther? A duet. So have you ever, that or any other thing, like a team experience, how the performance of each one brings out something new in you? Harmony, right? Or, I mean, I was at an interesting little jazz session last week where the bass and the piano player were just like talking to each other, inspiring each other. Just, no, I didn't go to any ceremony. This was another experience, but it was just amazing. What listening to them talk to each other, and each one's talk arousing like call and response, right? So that's what we're talking about here. So when God, even though he's got this dialogue going on in his head, right, it's not nearly as powerful as when there's something really that it's hard to say this about God himself, but that he experiences himself as being outside of him, talking into him. So just like someone outside of you talking to you, or a duet, or a team. The team is stronger than any one of the, and bring the team brings out the strength in everybody. Well, there is Rusa. Valderek is Rusa de la Ela, and this is through arousal from above. Shal Yedei is Rusa Lusak. There's a preciousness, the dearness, preciousness that comes much more dear, much more precious after he externalizes us, and then we vibrate from the external to his internal. They can't ask, well, you could ask, but there are no answers to the question. There's no, why did he have to?
I mean, what would be the hypothesis that Hasidus would say? Because Hashem wanted to bestow the goodness on this world and create something to bring it closer to
Himself. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's the answer.
Take it.
And I didn't mean, I meant to argue the arguments that Hashem is in the universe, but the universe is not Him. That's why I meant it. That was the pantheistic arguments.
Through the arousal from above, which comes as arousal from below, which is higher than, we said this, than the arousal that he did on his own. Just like the mitzvahs that he does, that he does as a result of us doing them, they have an influence on him, and so, if you can say such a thing, his mitzvahs have a certain quality and sense that they didn't have before. Just like our avoided down here inspires him up above, so our mitzvahs down here change the quality of the mitzvahs that he does. This is, I mean, we're taking all, it's very nice. When you think of this, I mean, I think people would have a lot of interest. What? What are you saying here? I mean, are you saying that God is missing something until we do something, right? And how can you say that? Because God is the one could draw that. And the Zohar itself tells us that God is Shlima de Kulu. He's the wholeness of everything.
We're missing what the potential of what we're seeing. I think that's more along the lines of what it is that goes on for us in school, is that everything is in potential. We are, our mission is just waiting to actualize that. So it's happening, but we haven't actually tapped into it yet.
Sure.
So, like, it's God, we are missing what God is missing from us missing something. Meaning, like, yes.
I want to say that. We're missing, look here, we're missing what God is missing from us missing something.
Yes.
That's 100% true.
That's right.
What was the inverse?
What do you want to know the inverse for?
What can we do that word Hashem is missing?
No, so what I'm saying is that all of this is happening around us constantly. It's a constant. But the reason, what they say about it's a risa de la ilma, an arousal from above, is that it doesn't last. Why doesn't it last? Because it's not mikayemet inside of our midas.
It has to be inside.
It's not internalized. Meaning everything is out there. Like all of this that we can access is there. So, Hashem is doing mitzvahs constantly. Those mitzvahs are happening around us. It's our experience of them that enables it to be mikayemet, that enables it to be sustained in this world. So really what I'm saying is that there's potential all around us. The potential, right, is all there. But it's up to us to tap into it. So that's why it's saying over here that Itzarusa de la Sata is even greater than Itzarusa de la Ela. Why? Because this Itzarusa de la Ela is always happening. But Itzarusa de la Sata...
Below.
Sorry.
That's true.
Yeah, so that's, it's basically Hashem, we are missing what's out there in the world that's needing us to do it. So it's...
And what's it look to think of Hashem?
It's me, what it means to Hashem. This gives a geschmack to Hashem. In other words, geschmack means in this.
So Hashem,
it gives them a taste. It's lacking a taste,
yeah.
The flavor.
We're missing what Hashem is missing in us. That's the primary logic.
Basically, that's the purpose of existing.
That's a good way to look. Thank you. And that means that when we quote that voice, we quote that voice about Kadosh Baruch Hu also. In a theoretical sense. So that would if you look in a makom, a physical, in the matter, what you're saying basically is that we'll be satisfied, we're also satisfying the void that exists in Hashem, if you could anthropomorphically say there's a void in Hashem.
Yep.
That's why I ask.
Yep.
I just want to understand, yes. Trying to understand in a process.
That's it. Shehamitzvus HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'achor HaKiyum HaMitzvus Yisrael before Olam is that the mitzvahs that God does at a level that's down here below in the physical, what we do before Mamish in the physical, came Nailim Yaser, they're much higher than the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does on his own, Lifnei Kiyum HaMitzvus Yisrael before Olam. I mean, a simple thing that you could say about this, the reason is the mitzvahs that we do down here come through overcoming, breaking through tremendous barriers.
Right?
Now, you have to say that there's an analog to that up above, because, you know, everything is reflected down here is up above, but it's not the same. It's not the same place.
Can I ask one more question? I want to ask one question. But just, when you think of anthropomorphism as something that's mystic, a lot of times we use our imagination in terms of physical space. I don't know if that does the justification. When Hashem has a need that we're satisfying, I think when we talk about it, we try to imagine in a physical space, there's something missing, you know, that's missing. And I don't know if that's the best way to phrase it. Forgive me, Rabbi, when I push back. I'm not against.
No, you're not pushing back. You're saying something very important. But
because I'm always afraid of having the physical.
But I don't think we need to go on with that. And I'll tell you why. Because the Torah itself, I've said this many times, is called Moshel HaKadmoni, the primordial metaphor. So every time we speak anything, you know, we're talking about the avoiding the base of Mikdash, the Makim HaMenorah, the place of the menorah. Every single thing in this world is simply a metaphor for what's going on in the upper world. That's the way that we see it from above to below, from below to above. From below, above to below, Hashem is saying, you don't want to know what? Those things you call metaphors, those are the most important things to me. This is why I created them in the first place. Now, we can't, when we say need, he can't say he has a need. He's not missing it. When we say he has more pleasure, that means that he had less pleasure. But we have to be, you know, just take that understanding. All of these anthropomorphic metaphors are just metaphors. Okay? But we won't. We won't do that. Okay? We'll avoid it. We won't do that. Anybody wants to go further? Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I say.
Okay.
Well, before that, Eliza, are you picking up everything out there?
Mostly. I hear you very clearly, and it depends, I guess. I hear Esther very clearly. I'm guessing she's sitting right near you and near the microphone, but I'm having time hearing. I think it's Jonathan.
Okay. All right.
It depends on proximity, I guess.
If you're having trouble, just say something and we'll move the mic to whoever's speaking.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. In fact,
I'm
going to move it a little closer to Esther. She says,
okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
That's not the
Arizal.
That's not
Masha Omar
Razal.
Which have said are Rabbeim.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Al HaPasuk.
So there's a pasuk, right? It says, "Let there be evening and let there be morning," which was the sixth day. The sixth day of creation. Which the whole point of the root of the creation is, by the way, the sixth day. Why?
Which is Rosh Hashanah.
Which is
Yaim Bare Adam Rishon.
It's the day on which the human being was created. As we say in Rosh Hashanah, this day is the beginning of the deed, even though we know that the beginning of the deed of creation began on the 25th of Elul, but stuff didn't really get going until Adam HaRishon was created. So similarly, we're going to remember we said Rosh Hashanah of Hasidus is Yutes Kislev. So it's a Rosh Hashanah. So it must have something in common with the original Rosh Hashanah. So what is it the beginning, the head of the year of the Torah of Hasidus and the ways of
Hasidus?
So this is the powerful act. If you want to know what Yutes Kislev is all about. Yutes Kislev is a big descent and culmination of the revelation of the secrets of Torah in such a way that they can be applied down here below. And this is the what he calls the Shleimus HaKavanah Amitis V'Briyas HaOdam. That the secrets of the Torah, which have coming down on Yutes Kislev, much lower. Again, we have this expression from Sefer Yetzirah, and it's we have it in today's Tanya everywhere, that the higher they are, the lower they fall. So the lower the Hasidus is coming, and it came down now in tranches from Kabbalah into the beginning of Hasidus by the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid, and then down. So the lower it gets, the more it's coming to realize what Hashem's whole intent was in the creation. Therefore, we can call Yutes Kislev Shleimus HaKavana Amitis Ben Briyas HaOdam. It's the completion of the Kavana of the creation of man. Now, it's not the completion of what he wants us to do, but it's the beginning, it's the completion of giving us the tools to do what we need to do. So just like everything depends, of course, on the sixth day of Sivan. Right? We're talking about the sixth day. Sixth day, man was created. That's the Tachlis of Bria, and on the sixth day of Sivan, was the Torah was given. Hashem made a stipulation. That's the Hisna. A Tanai. Yeah, a Tanai. That's the word. He made a Tanai. He made a stipulation with the deed of creation. And what was the stipulation? So if the Jewish people will fulfill the Torah, then you, meaning the whole creation, will stay in existence. There's a big responsibility.
Yeah, there's a responsibility.
If you want to know how to save the planet, literally. So this is why the scripture hangs the sixth day of the creation with the sixth day of Sivan. Six and six, right? The whole creation depends on Torah. What?
That's the first time I heard the connection of the Shishi.
Yes.
Shishi of my Voracious and the Shishi of Sivan. I've never heard that exact connection.
Good.
That's amazing.
It's a beautiful thing to take away. Six of Sivan, Torah. Six days of creation, Adam, for two are linked.
Mashma, the zeh shetekes hakiyam demaisa bereshit, nasa v'yem hashishi desivan.
So it's understood, implicit, that the strength of the fulfilling of the deed of creation, when is that strength realized? On the sixth day of Sivan, when the Torah is given.
Ulay rak mipnei
ha-safek.
Ha-safek, she-haya ba'aret.
Not only because of the doubt whether the earth would fulfill the stipulation that they were given, but also according to truth, according to the true way. Because Klapis Shemai, Klapis Aramaic, in relation to heaven, Klapis, in relation to. In relation to heaven, Galgia, there was revealed. There was this whole thing was revealed. This whole stipulation and the importance of the criticality of creation of man down here was revealed, right?
Right.
So we can add that once the Jewish people actually did receive the Torah, so they fulfilled the stipulation that was built into the act of creation. Even though it was known by God that they would. Right? There's another thing. He said, if you will. And he knows. He created it for this. He's past, present, and future are the same by him. So there's no real if you will. Right? But he still gives us free will. But he knows that we will. Because in general, the strength of a deed, you want something done, is when it's actually fulfilled. He said, I'm sending you on a mission, and you're going to have tremendous kind of delight when that mission is fulfilled. And even though this topic, that is that the Jewish people receive the Torah in actuality, even though that happened by God way at the beginning, because again, there's no past, present, and future. So it's always there, yeah, even though that's true. So in addition to the fact that the initial reality of us receiving the Torah was only in his head up there, in addition to that, yeah, as he says now, that because by God, past and future are one. But nevertheless, in the world, this didn't exist. Because the world, by definition, is a once you have place and time. It's time. Yeah. So it didn't exist yet in the realm of time. So therefore, though it had a reality in God's mind and always has a reality in mind, it didn't have the same strength until it was actually implemented down here below. So through this was the Jewish people received the Torah in actuality on Mount Sinai, physically, in this physical world.
Right,
the 6 of 7. So that created an extra measure of elevation in the whole inyan of Kabbalah Satira. It created an elevation way deeper, way beyond, way higher, where it was more geschmack, as I said, more tasty, more beautiful than it was.
Right.
Even though it existed in God's mind.
The Torah is
feminine, I guess. Shahid, Torah. Tabula la Torah, to me, Shahid. The way the Torah refers to Torah.
Right, Torah is feminine, right. Okay.
Where are we?
We are on Ois Vav. So I just want to say, what do we say? It's one thing, and we could put this in historical context, because we're at a point in history of Yud Tes Vav. Before that, we had a few hundred years back, we go back to the the Mezuzah Magi, then the Baal Shem Tov. Then we go back to almost the year 10, around Tam and Eri, when Shimon Bar Yochai lived. And you go back to the Kabbalah. And you go back and back and back to Avraham and then Adam Harisha. Back and back and back, right? Now, in a certain sense, we always understand their vision, the farther back you go, Adam could see from one end of the world to the other. Avraham Avinu discovered God and wrote the Sefer, said the Sefer Yetzirah. Shimon Bar Yochai gave us the Zohar. These were monumental, cascading descents of the truth of godliness down here below. But again, the higher it's rooted, the farther it's going to descend. So even though those things were seminal, you know, very important, and started the outbirth of the secrets, the sod of the Torah becoming relevant and exposed, it didn't get to the point where, I mean, look at our Rebbe is the seventh in this chain, right? This chain from the Alter Rebbe. So you have to say the Alter Rebbe began the chain that led to not only Chutzah, look at Shem and the second Chutzah, but Chutzah Sheba, Chutzah Sheba, Chutzah Sheba, Chutzah, outside, outside, outside. And as a result, what we said here, that's an example The farther down and more actualized it becomes is an indication of the depth from which it comes much deeper. So it's even higher than God's thought. It goes deeper into God's essence. It goes into, in other, my more amused coin, it goes into the crown, into the Ratzon and the Tanya. It gives, God may have thought of this, but it's only when we do it down here below that he experiences the ultimate delight.
Right.
Because we're the lowest.
Because we're the lowest.
We're the highest. We're the last generation of the Gullah, the first generation of Gullah.
Yes.
That's what makes it so.
Yes. Okay. And that's Yudhiskis. Yudhiskis is the instantiation, it seems like it, is actually creating that fact on the ground of bringing godliness to the outside world, right? And you see it, I mean, all around you. I mean, I mentioned to Devorah on the way up, I was at a little event sponsored by a relative of mine, the O'Hell. He's assistant director of student life at YU, and he brought the first convocation of YU students to the O'Hell on Sunday, which years ago, you couldn't imagine that YU would come to the O'Hell. But things are opening. That's exactly the word I had in my mind. Opening. Things are opening up as a result of the Torah Chassidus going out and out and out. All right, so after that little soapbox, the Inyan Hu. Anybody want to say? Okay. So the idea is this. Ice Bob.
All right.
As we explained above,
the
Divrei HaMaskil. In the beginning, this is another Maimon, Mayim Rabin. Okay.
The Indian Aliyah
Hanasis. So this relates to something you were saying, Jonathan. This we explained above, the elevation that occurs in the upper worlds and even into levels of God Himself, as a result of our neshamas down here coming down.
Oxagon, we think that I will start
You see the word mishrashis? What's the
root?
Sure. Even though the souls are rooted in Asmus, and as we said before, and he consulted with them. Yeah, consulted with them.
Nimloy.
Yeah. It's an interesting way. You think of Kisriya to Mela.
Yeah.
But it's, it means to consult. You could think about what the association might be, but you know, that's what it means.
Maybe held court.
Oh. Held court, yeah. Held court with them. Okay, that would work. When they were in a state of mamlocha, meaning in a consultative relationship with God, yeah, they were in a level of tzaddikim, right? Who did he consult with? The tzaddikim. Now we're going to move into a little bit.
We always say that I'm Hakulam tzaddikim.
Okay, I'm Hakulam tzaddikim. But he's emphasizing here tzaddikim. Okay? He consulted with tzaddikim.
What influence did they actually have?
The influence that they had?
Yes.
Is that was they assisted.
Was the best deal that they could strike?
What? What did you say?
Was this the best deal that they were able to strike? And then,
this was the deal he wanted them to strike. And this was the way he communicated. And if it's a consulting relationship, a real consulting relationship, then the one who hired the consultant is actually taking advice from the consultant, right? So he took advice from us how to fulfill his kavana. And his kavana is that he said, all right, you could ask why he wanted this, but he wants a dwelling place in the lower world.
That's
his Anemia Sakavana. That's just the best deal he can get. That's what he really wants. So he's consulting with them. Okay, how do I do this? I mean, again, why he's asking questions how he should do. But again, forget the anthropomorphism, right? No more anthropomorphism. Okay. Speak louder, sir.
For instance, like you said, it's not during the question. Is I don't like using the word alienating, but you used the term before in Chassidus. But if Hashem alienates himself in the creation of this world.
I didn't say alienates. I said he restricts himself. He ties himself up.
Makes him something other is created through the symptom. I'm not going to the whole process, but I'm asking the underlying teleological perspective.
Right.
When that happens, I'm curious if that separation, this is a sensible separation, it's not a real one, it's paradoxical.
From our perspective,
if the ultimate process is the reunification at the end of the process with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and his essence. In other words, there's a spark, an internal spark that's striving towards realization and is going closer to Hashem.
Yeah.
And as it comes closer to Hashem, all of creation is going through a process until finally there's eventual reunification with the Makor source, and that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Absolutely.
And that would explain the process.
That
I
is.
Thought about this when I was in high school.
That's good. Good. That's it. And in addition, that reunification brings out something that's much more intense
the end of the process.
Than before that. Hashem was always one, right? Hashem is here, he's always one. But what the reunification that comes through the rectification, it's hard to say this, but gives him a sense of higher delight than he had in the first place.
It's like separating yourself, and then at the end of the process, it's the reunification with your creator.
You have this simply down here below.
Whole theological process, physical creation, the universe, everything. At the end of the process, if you reflectively say, I'm creating something with the potential, the spark of creation, to be like me, you get closer to Hashem.
Right.
So how do you measure the whole process of creation? The whole process of creation becoming closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so finally, reunification.
He's about to say this. The difference coming closer is a function of Shuvah. So what's the difference now? We're going to see the difference between a tzaddik and a baal shuvah. So the souls of tzaddikim were all called tzaddikim. The souls that he consulted were all called tzaddikim, right? As it says, with whom did he consult tzaddikim? Now, Devorah, you're on the line that begins Halashim. Exactly, the exactitude of the Lashon is he consulted with tzaddikim. Tzaddikim are a certain level of existence. Wait till you see how this spins. We become higher. Bale Shuva. Because as Jonathan said, or and I'll go through it in cruder words, when you pull back a slingshot, well, here's the origin. Pulling it back, it's going to go much higher on the return. So the return, the notion of Shuva, hits much deeper than Siddiq.
And there's also, I think, an interrelationship with the physical world. So the physical world morphs as the spirit comes closer to Hashem.
Yes.
There's like a moving force that transforms the physical world. And so eventually, what's the end process? And each time through the process of the Yavashut, his creatures become closer to understanding. And at least that's only the final thing seen like that. That's why probably Abraham Avinu was chosen, because his radical perception of being close to Kadosh Baruch Hu was different than all that around him.
And I think you have to be careful to distill it into some kind of scientific.
I'm not doing scientific.
No, I'm saying it's not a scientific formula that you
talk about when I was in high school.
I'm just saying this is Hashem. This is beyond that. There's no this happens and that happens. Hashem, Chassidus broadens our perspective. It opens our mind. Okay, so as much as there is some kind of scientific process to it, there's it's deeper than that. It's not.
There's a dialect between the spiritual and the physical.
Correct. That's what we're saying here.
Okay.
Did you want to say?
Tap into something interesting. I recently watched The Matrix again.
Oh, wow.
So what's amazing, the correlation between this and how to understand it on a very, very lahavah-like physical form. But one of the things that you realize about tzaddikim is that they're so tapped into the source that everything is like Dvar Hashem. So a tzaddik is really able to see your makar, the makar of your neshama, be able to direct you in this world. And there is no, like, they're able to live in this world and see the world for what it really is. But as opposed to a baal tshuva, there's still a level of helem. Even as a person becomes about, like, if Hashem, considering the fact that Hashem consulted with the tzaddikim, right, they're tapped into the source. They were their neshamas are tapped into the makar of everything. So they see the makar of everything, in everything, right? But about tshuva, there's still a certain level of hela, because no matter how much tshuva, there's always more tshuva to do.
So what's my level of about tshuva, not colloquially, but what we're talking about here, is that they go beyond that. That even though there's that, like, let's say, some kind of film or some kind of cloudy glass, they're going beyond that, and that's the my love of Al-Shuva. That's why it's tzaddik, because it's always okay. Well, you know, but not really though, because in the end of the day, we can really achieve higher.
Let's put this into the context.
Yes, that's what I
okay.
Yeah.
Consider your context. You're both right. But how are you both? Tzaddikim have vision that the Baal Shuva on his way back certainly doesn't have that.
Right.
But when a Baal Shuva, when Shuva is attained, in other words, when all the sparks are returned, the Tzaddik doesn't have the Yetzer Hara to heal, right? Now let's remember, the animal, and which initially in a Baal Shuva is distracted and downward pulling. That animal has sparks within him from Olam HaTohu. The deacons see naturally to the top of Olam HaTikun, but they don't have vision into what's rectified. We're thinking about the Baal Shuva as a rectified, not as someone who's sinned and now is just something like that, but accomplishing the return. And the Baal Shuva, when he accomplishes the return, that's what Shuva is, that Baal Shuva is releasing sparks that come from a much higher world than the world of Tikkun.
But as a Baal Shuva, it's very hard to understand those sparks. Like, it could be haywire. You can get, like, Nebuah, but not understand the war.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm just saying that a Tzaddik, there's, like, an even...
Tzaddik is orderly.
With Lahadol, you can just see everything.
Tzaddik has order, and everything's in its place. The Baal Shuva is torn apart.
This is a great example that we have, because when you go outside, maybe behind the veil, and you see things that people don't see, even that eating, kind of like the matrix. The matrix is a way of looking at the matrix, a way of looking at it. But sometimes when you pierce below, it's like, what's the key? What's the matzah, the process of creation? You know, and you can see it, but not actually an actual physical, you know, but I don't know, I mean, if you have a glimpse of the process, you know, as someone, I mean, that spark, that glimpse of the process, that's going to bring you closer. The tzaddik, of course, has a grand view. But I don't know if the tzaddik, because he's a tzaddik.
Tzaddik.
He could be able to see, and maybe he could, maybe everyone has everything.
I mean, it's said a tzaddik struggles to come to the level of the Baal Shuva. It's a struggle. Right. They're not living with the sparks of fall. No.
May I offer a like visual that maybe may make it easier for us to understand? I think
I just want to make sure you heard the last thing that was said, that the Rebbe just said.
The Rebbe is to say people from today that they're struggling with something immensely. The Rebbe is to say, I'm so stupid. I envy you. I envy the struggle that you have. I would never be able to have that struggle.
Because the struggle brings out a power that is not available unless you've struggled through. And that's the Baal Shuva. Now, Aliza, did you want to say something?
Yeah, because I'm hearing, I think we just came to the place, but I think in terms of visual, because I'm hearing us all coming from different places trying to explain what I think is the same thing. And, okay, I forgive me that I'm bringing it back to children and people, but that's just where I'm coming from. So if you can picture, but I think we can all relate to it. If you picture a baby in front of a mirror, So when that baby sees the reflection in the mirror, they immediately go to like kiss the reflection, not even realizing it's themselves. And that's the absolute love of just fellow people and all existence and all life and the excitement. Then as the baby develops and gets a little older, they realize, oh, it's me in there. And then they enjoy it. And then as they get older, then suddenly there's actually self-consciousness that sets in. But then if they can get past the self-consciousness to see the real me again in the same mirror and see how they can connect to whether they know the person in the mirror or whether they don't know the person in the mirror, it's like they've come full circle. The Baal Tshuva is someone who, as we know, no one can stand in the same place because, as Esther said, the Rebbe said, it's like the struggles that someone goes through, it's like no one can imagine someone else's struggles, especially when they haven't had the same insular familiarity with Hashem and the Torah. And so it's like they have the vision to know who they are in the mirror and who they're not in the mirror, and yet they're coming back to embrace the same reality. Someone else may have never realized or like taken that step to be self-conscious when they see themselves in the mirror, and so they don't have the same struggle, but it's still the same mirror. I don't know if that, does that muscle make, or that I'm, example make,
I, I'll tell sense? I'll tell you the conclusion. If the conclusion is right, I tell you honestly, I didn't really understand the metaphor too much, but the part that you did say, that the power that's released by breaking through the negative is a much mm-hmm. greater, deeper power than if you didn't have to do that in the first place. And that's why
right.
the deacon
right.
says that a Baal Tshuva stands in a place that a tzaddikin, that tzaddik couldn't. Now, the humorous way that people take that is the first way, that a Baal Tshuva is low. But the inner meaning of that, which is the real meaning of it, is that the tzaddik can never have the depth of experience that comes from breaking through boundaries and overcoming obstacles. So, let's go on.
It's so much
harder. It's much harder. All right. So where are we? Where are you now on the page? Huh? Are you up on the next page? Oh, Inyan. Okay. Inyan, and this is an Inyan Avi. He's now going to quote. This is a quote from a Pasuk, a Pasuk in Kehelas.
It's
Pasuk. Okay. The spirit, this is a pasuk about tshuva, tashu. The spirit returns to Elohim, to God, from which it was given. Okay, that's the pasuk. Kishin is bora, as has been explained. Let's listen to what I was going to explain. As we've explained above, as is known, the whole ultimate purpose and intention in God of bringing the neshama down here below is to fix the body and the animal soul and one's portion in the world. So one can say that the effects that a person has in the world, in the body, and in the animal soul, and in your portion in the world, including and up to the entire world, which as a result, shenasa, through the work of the neshama, that's what tshuva is all about. The rectification, refinement, freeing of the sparks in what's called the reflective light, the tshuva. Now, we may remember, some of us, we talked about the Or Choizer when we learned our mimer about it's not good for a man to be alone, that the female was the orhoiser. And you remember the mushel?
The mirror.
Well, the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
That with the mirror you can see things that you can't ordinarily see. And he particularly said, you can see a mirror through a mirror, that which is behind you, right? Behind you in the context means deeper than what you usually see. And as a result of light bouncing off, that's tshuva, bouncing off, dealing with darkness and rectifying the darkness is revealing the reflective light, that's the Baal Shuva light, which is deeper than, illuminates much deeper than the straight light, which is the tzaddik light. On the contrary. So this is also a mouthful. On the contrary, just listen, the whole purpose and intent of the ascent of the descent of the Shema is not for the sake of elevating. It's not for having great spiritual experiences. So, it's not for the sake of elevating through the Shuva that the soul, that your soul should have an elevation. That's not what the elevation is. When we say it's a descent for the sake of elevation, it ain't about elevating you. It's about to effect a rectification, clarification, release of the holy sparks which are in the world.
So it's so pertinent to this generation. Because you have so many people who get so caught up on the spiritual experience.
Absolutely.
And to meditate. And not that meditation is bad, but that still gets stuck there. Like, that's their thing. Or like, and then there's no integration. It's like the mitzvahs are, okay, you know, it's like secondary. Even I've seen it with people who learn Hasidic. Oh, it's like this euphoric thing. And that's why, like, sometimes I'm like, let's learn a ticha. I want, like, tachlis. I want, like, you know, like, where's the integration of all of these wonderful, amazing, incredible concepts? And this is the point right here. It's not just to have, like, a spiritual awakening. Have tachlis in your everyday life to start integrating all that knowledge that you have and to actually do the mitzvahs. Every little thing. Like, literally, ma'ida ani. Say your bracha, or do negovasa, like every little
because
aspect.
Because all mitzvahs, 99.9, are involved with physical things, and the purpose of our creation is to release the sparks of Tohu, the sparks of the highest, the world before Tohu, from those things. That's what we were meant, not to have, as you say, spiritual experiences. However, those spiritual experiences are important, right? 100%. As it says, the Alter Rebbe tells in Tanya that. Do you know the metaphor? It's probably pretty common. The metaphor of the bird and his wings. A bird can be a bird without wings. His life is not at danger if he doesn't have wings, but he can't fly. So a bird, this isn't time. A bird needs two wings, the right wing, Ava and Yir. And they make us fly. And that's what davening is about. To get our release, our yearning for God. And to grow, to flow, but to rise upward. But the expression is shuv le'echa. When a person, this is from Zohar, I believe. Im rotz libo, if your heart runs out, and it should run out, you should want to, then rotz le'echa, then return, come back down. And that's where you'll find the tachlis of what you've been created for.
I feel like davening is like plugging in. Like the recharge.
Nothing is plugging in.
Yeah,
it's the charge. Recharge. Exactly. Recharging yourself for a purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
Reconnecting.
Beautiful. So he said in parentheses, this is the Indian of returning the world, which is much higher than returning the soul. Returning the world.
Oh, okay.
Is higher than returning the soul. We want, because the sparks are invested in the dark stuff down there.
Well,
in the Gashmias, you're right. This is the advantage of Gashmias. Right. This is the advantage of Gashmias over Rukh.
But the sparks are pushing the interaction with the physical world.
What's no? The sparks are invested
in
the physical
world.
And our job, the purpose of our creation,
a way of understanding what it means. God wants a dwelling place in the lower worlds. He wants those sparks to be visible, realized, sensed, felt, and experienced.
When you pass away, Master Shalom, when someone passes away, not you, use a generic term. When someone passes away, Master Shalom, their physical being is no longer with them. Then the Shalom rises back to the Shemayim, right?
It's in the
Shalom. Yeah, but please let me finish the idea that I'm trying to get here. So if that's true, what you're saying is that the Neshama returning to Kadosh Baruch Hu is not necessarily what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. What he wants is that the sparks that are invested in the physical world will interact with the physical world and bring the whole world to a higher level.
That's what he wants.
That's what
that's
I was
saying. That's what
you just said. And I mean you in the generic here.
Right. Okay, always silent. Later.
V'yesh le'kasher v'yah. Im Torah har.
So now we're going to connect this with the Torah of the Magid. Remember, the Magid's Baal HaHilula, right? His Yortzai.
Al HaPasuk, Yeshev Yaakov, the Aretz.
Megure
Avi, the Aretz Kana.
So this the Magid said this, what he's about to say, in Parshas V'Yeshev, which happens to be this year, your test, this with this Parshas V'Yeshev. And there's... Yeah, and there's a sentence there, speaking about the land, the Oretz, Megure Oviv, which were the temporary sojournings of your father, in Eretz Canaan. Now this, we don't have a lot of time to get deeply into it, but just think about this. The father goes on Chochma, the mother goes on Bina, our parents, our soul parents, are the expressions of godliness, which are Chochma and Bina, our parents. They dwell. This structure of the soul, Abad, which is within us, is a mechanism, a machinery, if you will, for doing something. And what is it? To come in and release the sparks that are in the land of Canaan. Canaan, of course, is the Eretz Yisrael before it became Eretz Yisrael. So there are sparks, and it's negative. The Canaanites and the Jebusites, etc., all were people that we had to deal with. So the sparks, the Aviv, the fathers, the heads, have to come down and deal with Eretz Canaan.
I literally just had such a connection that I never thought of before. Part of a lot of the things that a lot of us have to deal with on a daily basis are our triggers and narratives and things from our childhood and ways that our father and our mother related to us. A huge aspect of what we are correcting as adults is that relationship with our Chochma and Bina, our original, our father and mother in this world. Like, that is a massive tikkun for pretty much this entire generation of, like, epigenetics and dealing with our inner child and dealing with the things that our father and our mother taught us. And the Parsha, each Parsha of Bereshit literally teaches us exactly this. Go... working on our Chochma and Bina, our Av and our Aman Ban, and all of that, like, and then integrating it into your everyday life. It's like such a practical approach to really just working through your relationships with your mother and your father, your Chochma and your Bina, your Ma and your Ban, and then being able to be a better person.
Even Freud, and we don't say the Hagel because he was Jewish, he in his own way understood that. You know, that's the,
right.
What you're talking about is actually is imagotherapy. Imagotherapy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Could you repeat, what's the name?
Imagotherapy.
Imago? I-N, like image?
Yeah, Harvold Hendricks and his wife.
Go ahead. Do you want to say something, Elisa? Go. Bye.
No, it's okay. Esther, take it away. Go.
Okay, fine.
No,
so we finished with that. Good. So we're dwelling in the dwelling place, the temporary sojournings of our parents, into the land of
Canaan.
Because the descent of Yaakov from his higher level, the Artsios, to come down and dwell in the earth, which is earthly, to come down from the spiritual to the earthly, which is the descent of the soul below.
The Abla opened the Yeshiv.
And to such an extent that he actually sat there, right? The Yeshiv.
She'en yeshiva ela lashon
akova. He says sitting means delaying, staying for a while. Right?
Oh my
sit
God.
Up. Just come, sit yourself down and relax. Except he wasn't.
Or sit in it.
Sit in it. Right.
Yeah.
Wait.
Right? Yeshiv. Yeshiv Yaakov Yeresh. Yeshiv Yaakov Be'eres Megure Ova. Yaakov came down, and for the purpose of actually getting involved, digging in, sitting down in the land of Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that for the sake of Ubishvil? That's the parenthesis. It's for the sake, now we twist a little bit. Is it for the sake of establishing a temporary dwelling place for his father?
Mm.
Go ahead.
Megure Lashon Asifa.
So this word Megure has two, it's a second meaning. Interesting, the second time we dealt with two different meanings. So it means temporary lodging. Come here for a purpose and then get
out.
Do your purpose.
Don't just
right?
stay there.
Don't get trapped there, exactly. That's for sure, right? Megure, remember, like, we're a stranger in a strange land, right?
Great book, man.
Yeah, great book. Okay. Yeah. So the idea is you're going to settle there, but don't get captive there. Don't get captive and enraptured by the Kanani or the Mitzri or wherever you're there. Because that's one meaning. And then Megure also means to gather together. A Sifa B'Kanisa. And he quotes a Pusik now. This is a pasuk.
It's an ogre.
Yeah, in Mishlei, to gather the harvest in the summer.
Hmm.
Ogre, gather. Okay, so now we're going to sit in a place for some period of time in order to gather up something from that place.
So
what are we going to gather up? This holy sparks that are hidden down there, Jibba Olama, in this world. In order to bring them back, cause them to enter and to come and be raised up higher.
Can I think there's a really practical application?
Yes.
I want to continue on with that mashal that I was going on before.
Okay.
Every one of we are the product of our parents. Whether we like it or not, we're the product of our parents. But the best way to look at it is that every midah, like we learn, is klipas nega, right? Every midah has the ability to be taken either to the extreme of good or to the extreme opposite of good, right? So Canaan, right, Eretz Canaan, we learn about it as midah, just sitting there, go into that place, realize the potential of the midah, realize that you are a product of your parents, realize that you're here to work on yourself and take whatever it is that your parents gave to you and now uplift it and turn it into something that's positive. For example, passion can be anger, or it can be like you can have fire, which is anger, or fire, which is passion for something good. You can have every midah, everything that your parents gave to you or whatever's been passed down, the great aviv, like from your father, from your mother, is can be transformed for the good. So gather that. Also, it's the awareness that you are a product of your upbringing and your parents and all of that, and then transforming it and using it for the good.
Well said. We're going to turn now to you. Flip over. You can keep saying. But I want to, we have little time, maybe 10 minutes, and I'd like to just sort of segue into the conclusion. In Yud, he's continuing this idea. So, since the whole purpose of the descent of the soul down below is who?
Who lo bishvil ha iloy de teshuva de nafet de haneshama?
Is not for the sake of the elevation of the return of the soul.
He in bichdei le.
But rather to have an effect on rectifying, clarifying, releasing, and elevating the sparks that are in the world. As we said above.
Yesh lomar dizesh al yedei avodas ha'adam
gimel
ha ian kavin the Torah avoda
and through one's service of a person in the three directions, the three planks of the tripod, Torah, Avodah Gemilas Chasadim, Torah and prayer and acts of mitzvahs.
Nafe Eloi the Gimel Hakavin Chagas.
So one makes an elevation in another three, which are Chesed, Gevurah, and Teferis. One of the things that...
Pulls it all up.
Yeah. One of the things I just mirrored is that we should... Because this is when you go upward, you're going up with the two wings of the Midas, you know, Chesed and Gevurah, and Teferis, the integrator of the two.
Which is Yaakov.
Mm-hmm.
Demaila, Kinal, Tif Gemel, who the Iker Masad...
So this is the main deal here, is that through these three things, that which are our whole das, our whole religion, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, we make a rectification in the world. I mean, just think about this. I mean, the whole purpose of Torah is Tikkun Olam. Not, we need the energy of meditation, contemplation, yearning, and having a kumzitz, or having a meditative, contemplative experience, but for the sake of rectifying the world. Which this is the whole purpose. And now I'll take on the end. We're going to turn to page Kufnun Aleph, the second paragraph, Vizeh. Vizeh nasat gama keruv el hazman de mesa Mashiach. And all of what we just talked about is a preface and a close preface to the time of the days of Mashiach, where the whole occupation, and he told us earlier, the difference between occupation and just involved occupation is like a business person who's like, he lives for this. And when all of what lives, what person's involved in is living for, is to know God, that's what the Rambam says, that they're in the Hilchos Malachim. And by the way, when the Rambam says this about that the whole occupation, he says the whole occupation of all of humanity, Kol Boy Oila, all of humanity is evolving toward a stage where the whole preoccupation will be to know God. To meet this Indian ideas with Hashem, then the true Indian of knowledge of Hashem. Well, that is my Makovikalash Adma from the Adma Rashab. Kishalaimed Lakuti Taira, when he says, when a person learns Lakuti Taira, he's talking about when a person learns Lakuti Torah, he feels essence of God, 100%. And with this feeling of essence that you get when you learn Lakuti Torah, is what the Rebbe Hashem said, that gives a power. That's something like this, of this essence, you can bring into all of the things you do, into all of your paths, all of your ways. Okay, you do as is known, which he said, Be'inyin. Yudaitov Hiyusov. He has awareness of his deepest being. This is what he says about learning with the Tikkun, that it brings you to an awareness of your deepest being. And all of the Hasidim, who learn Hasidus, who do the Avodah Shebaleh, and do the work of David, Derhet Yeder, when they're filled, everyone can internalize and feel them. He used to, his essential being, was as kum unim yidasav shebe neshama, which comes from the knowing that goes on in your neshama. Zeo pada b'shalom nafshi, and this is what it means, that he redeemed me in peace. He redeemed my soul in peace. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, God, the Holy One, Blessed Be He, says, Kol Ha'esik B'Torah Gminus L'Sod, everyone who occupies, Oisek, makes it his business to occupy oneself in Torah Gminus L'Sod, U'mespalo L'Matzibur, and prays well with a congregation. Ki'ilu Puta'eini, is as if you're redeeming me. Yirasa Shele Kodesh Baruch Hu Habi Maisa. And you should know, this is the saying of the sages, the saying, when God speaks, that's equivalent to deed. Because actually, he created everything in speech, right? But at the beginning, he says, it's as if you redeemed. As if. Because the redemption of reality, of the sparks of Tohu that have fallen into everything we're doing, our child rearing, our food, our drink, etc. Yes, we're redeeming them, but they're not front and center in front of our fleshly eyes. But afterwards, eventually, afterwards, this redemptive process and the sparks that are being released will be manifest in the world of Asiya, of which it is said, this, there is no world lower than this. And it will realize the redemption of the Holy One and the Jewish people from all the nations of the earth. We will be redeemed. It will be as if. It won't be as if. It will be a fact in front of our eyes. Then our occupation in Torah and Mitzvah and Davening will be in this ultimate state of wholeness, for the Vishalom, wholeness, Shalom. Mitzvahs Ratzonecha. We will see the mitzvahs that are in Hashem's will. The Bias Mashiach Sukkainu, with the coming of our righteous Mashiach, they should redeem us and lead us standing up to our holy land, the Kodav Mamish, now, the Gan B'Losh and the Targum, the Agol and the Don, immediately.
So, essentially, to wrap it all up, Taira, Avaida, Gnilas Chasadim, Davening with the Tiber, learning the Alter Rebbe's Maimarim, that's the way to do it.
Yep.
Oh, which is,
I mean, you're right, but let me just, if you do Torah, you can do Torah, Avaida, Gnilas Chasadim, and Holokayat, Kayat, Kayat, and you're from Jew, but if you do it empowered, with Hasidus, it's not only a different experience for you, but it changes the world.
You're touching the essence.
Touching the essence.
What do you mean by the hero transforms into reality? What was the transformation?
The expression is, it's an expression that it's as if you redeem, right?
So what is the transform from the hero to
actually? The hero means as if.
I know, but what
and then you transition to it's actually happening.
So what's the key point in the transition?
Is the Gaula. The Gaula. The Gaula is the transition. Is the fulfillment of the transition. So with that, we should go. We should all go to Gaula Shleima. Now, we've decided, I think, next week we're not having a shiur because everybody's going to be forbringing, even in Flatbush. Even in Flatbush, they'll be forbringing Jutes.
What do you mean, even in Flatbush?
Especially in Flatfoot.
Thank you. We are preparing.
Are you making up for
bringing? Yes, I did. Well, for bringing our bubbles together.
Well, think about it. You know, I don't know what I'm doing.
There's a lot of brachas that come from making for bringing.
What is the expression that they say? They say what a for bringing can accomplish. Even the angel Michoel can't accomplish. So refuahs, geulas, there's something about a forbring, a siddush forbring. So we'll all do our best to
agreed.
Take part.
Agreed. So we will forbring in our bubble. Hanan,
okay.
We're going to forbring next week? He's getting ready. Okay.
No, yeah, but we'll forbring, not necessarily around this table, but wherever
right.
we are. Okay? And then we'll start again around this table learning Hasidus till next week.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody. Bye bye.
Good night.